Well, it doesn't matter. We are the light. Light dispels darkness. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we live in the United States of America. That we are free to worship you. We are free to hear, preach, receive your word, to proclaim it from the housetops if need be in this land. Righteousness exalts a nation. And Father God, we are thankful that we are a part in these end times. Lord God, we thank you for the anointing upon your word this morning, the anointing that abides within us and is truth and cannot lie. The anointing, hallelujah, that reveals darkness and illuminates our life. The anointing that turns our hearts completely unto you. That this day, Father, we have hearts to receive, ears to hear, and eyes to see what you would say unto us, that we would be open to make any adjustments that we need to, because we love you. We thank you now and we welcome you. And Jesus, it's not just because we need you that we welcome you. That's obvious. But we want you. We want you, and we thank you right now for your presence, dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, and wonderful teacher and counselor, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this message this morning, Standing for Truth. And it's interesting how that throughout the song service, anointed and led of the Spirit that they all are. We sang, forever all of you, forever all stand. Is that your heart's cry?
Yes.
Do you realize that when we praise and worship the Lord, I mean, we are giving forth the prophetic word of the Lord over our lives, over our hearts. We are declaring before heaven and earth who we are, who He is. Who we believe, and what we know we have received by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also sang how that when darkness comes my way, what do? We're going to not fear, we're going to be bold, and we're going to stand for truth day by day. Standing for truth. Is everybody at John chapter 8? A couple of familiar scriptures that the Lord has spoken. John chapter 8 verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, not if you know a word or two in your head, but if you continue in my word, that's going to take some doing to continue in the Word of God. It's going to take a continuing fellowship in the Word and with Him, the living Word. If you continue in my Word, you are truly disciples of mine. And how many of you want to be a true disciple? If there are true disciples, there are probably false disciples, right? Look at somebody and say, I know you're true. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what?
Free.
What's that?
Free.
What's the word the devil hates? Amen. Don't you want to be completely whole and free? There's one way. The way, the truth, and the life. It's a commitment of our hearts.
He's everything. Truth. Not everyone wants to hear truth. And I've said it before. Thanks for telling me what I didn't want to hear. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? When somebody's in our face and letting us know what the word of the Lord is. We may not appreciate it. We may not even like the attitude that it was given. But you know what? It's only truth that sets you and I free. And somebody in this world is going to stand for truth. And we're living in a time when it means everything. It can mean your life if you stand for truth. And we'll see that in the Word of God. And even as my precious pastor, our pastor John, spoke about the cost, there is no worth greater than Jesus. My second subtitle is Loving Beyond the Cost. Knowing that there is a greater reward. There's always something or someone beyond any cost. To stand in the truth, it might cost you your pride. You're going to have to lay down your flesh lust. But you're going to get the life of the Spirit. Who else can give us a supernatural love, peace, and joy? Who else can cause us, when we were once grumpy and angry and hateful, to be gentle and kind? Who has given us new life? A new identity? I say a new attitude. No one has made the change in my life like Jesus. And you can say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you willing to stand for truth this morning, church? You know, I thought that I would really rather give a different message. I like humor and I like joy. But you know, sometimes you just don't get to go that way. But I believe that I can tell my cat and mouse story. And if you've heard it before, then just bear with me, because there are those in the house that haven't heard it, okay? The cat and the mouse are in the house. And the mouse wants to get away from the cat, and he's in the hole in the wall, and the cat is very intent on getting this little mouse. So he sticks his big paw in the hole, and you hear this, and he's trying to get this little mouse. And the mouse is just up against the back of the wall, inside, you know. The cat cannot reach the mouse. So he takes his paw out as we hear this. And there is a fight going on. So the mouse, curious that he is, he proceeds out of the hole and swat. The cat grabs the mouse. And that mouse looks up at the cat and says, what about the dog? And the cat says, ruff, 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 ruff. If we don't establish truth in our lives and in our hearts, we're going to fall for a lie. We're going to be deceived and open prey to the enemy. And I come to the realization that if I don't stand in truth, I stand in a lie. I am deceived. I'm going to walk in darkness. I want my life to be full of truth, even though it hurts. God loves us enough to correct us. He loves us so much He'll send His Word to us. He'll try to get through to us one-on-one. And if we don't listen, you know what? He loves you and I enough to send somebody else to help us out. We lie rather than tell the truth at times. And it happens to be the first thing when you're born again that you're to put off. Put off that lying. We're to speak truth to one another in love. And it's a challenge. There's the little fibs, the little white lies that we say, you know, a lie is a lie. A lie is a lie. But I come to know that we lie because of fear. We lie because we're afraid of what other people might think of us if they knew the truth. We lie to make ourselves look good and others look bad. Well, we need to pursue the things that are of peace, and we need to encourage one another. Love is going to look for the best, not the worst. And somebody is going to have to take a stand for truth. Go ahead and open your Bibles. We're going to go to the Old Testament and look at a prophet. And then we'll get over into the New where we live. In 1 Kings chapter 22. Standing for truth. This is 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22. Excuse me. And this is a time when King Josiah rose up. When he became king, he was 8 years old. For all the ones out there that are young, 8 years old, he became king. And God is going to use him. The book of the law had been lost, and it's about to be found, and we're going to pick it up in 2 Kings 22, chapter 8. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. And so the scribe takes it, he reads it in the presence of the king. And in verse 11 it says, "When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah and four other men to go and inquire of the Lord." And in verse 13, they go inquire of the Lord for him and the people in all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. "For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." And so then Hilkiah and the other men, they go to a little woman. It's a prophet of God, called a prophetess, because she's female. And this little woman, the voice of God, her name is Huldah. And in verse 15, she says to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, regarding the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord." So the king is going to receive a merciful word from God because of two things. His heart was tender. And he was humble. And those that will walk in humility, which is yielding to the word and will of God for your life, is submitting to truth. Being willing to stand in truth. It gets God's attention. Because that's where God lives. And that's where we are to dwell. So he was tender-hearted, he was humble before the Lord. She goes on and she says, "What I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should be cursed, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I have truly heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring in this place. So they brought back word to the king. And what happened was, because this little lady stood for truth and was willing to be used of God, what happened was that King Josiah began a spiritual house cleaning in the land. And in verse 24 of chapter 23, this is in the 18th year of King Josiah, the word says, moreover, Josiah removed the mediums and the spiritists and the cherubim and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might confirm the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might. That sounds like our command and our call to love God. All our heart, all our soul, all our might, our whole being, everything within us, our life, our body, committed to demonstrate the love of God. With all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. What a testimony for a young king. So a nation was turned back to God, and God used the prophetess Huldah. Now, in the Old Testament, many of us know that prophets could lose their lives very easily when they spoke the word of the Lord. If the hearer didn't like what you had to say, guess what? Your head may roll. You could end up in prison, tortured, and it could end your life because you stood for truth. Well, in this particular case, the hearer happened to be a king that was tender-hearted and humble, and he turned towards God rather than away from him. He didn't have all the word that we have. He didn't have the Holy Spirit like we have. And I always say, if they can do it back then, how much can we do today? What excuse do we have? Huldah was not intimidated to keep silent and keep the word of truth away from the king and the people. She was a faithful prophetess during a time of national unfaithfulness. She spoke courageous judgment and then mercy to King Josiah. Can one voice make a difference? Yes. Do you want your voice to make a difference? Yes. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, we are to desire the spiritual gifts and to desire prophecy. And any believer can be used of God to prophesy. It does not make you a prophet or a prophetess. But God has a prophetic people and wants every believer to be open to be used as the Spirit wills. Your voice makes a difference. This one woman spoke the word of the Lord. It could have cost her her life. And a nation is turned to God. How many voices do we have in the land for truth? What kind of difference can we make in this earth? It's easy to speak out when things are going smoothly and things seem right, but a true leader will take courage and stand for what is right no matter what the cost. They're going to love God more. They're going to love beyond any cost in this natural realm, in this earth. Because for one thing, they are more eternally minded. They've got their mind on things above. They know who they are, whose they are, and where they're going. And whatever light, momentary affliction, difficulties, trials, troubles we may find ourselves in, it's nothing to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. In these times, we're going to have to trust God. We're going to have to speak, and stand for truth, even if nobody else will. And if we will be open to the Word of God, and if we can make a decision today, it will affect our choices in the next 24 hours and in the days ahead. And it will prepare you to stand in more difficult times for truth and be the voice of the Lord God Almighty in the earth. And when you speak truth in Him, it may not look like it makes a difference, but there is a heavenly audience that is for us. Through faith, we're going to see what others don't. And through our faith and trust in God, we're going to go where others won't. It is truly a time to take courage, to be strong, and to stand for truth. Let's go over and let's look at the life of Stephen in Acts chapter 6. Chapter 6. Many of us are familiar with the life of Stephen. I want to say this, that recently I evaluated my heart, and we know that the scripture, we need to judge ourselves so that we be not judged. But we need to go through heart and life examination regularly, daily if need be. Paul said, I die daily. He didn't mean a natural death. But if you die to the flesh in your own ways and pick up God's ways, you'll have the life of the Spirit. It's a greater life that we walk in, an abundant life. And I decided that in this hour, in this time, in this moment, I don't want to have a divided heart. And I began to think and meditate on that and realize that there were some areas in my life that I needed to just pull those reins back and make some adjustments. There wasn't as much maybe commitment, or I wasn't expressing the love of God to the depth that I know He has expressed to me. And I know He wants to flow through me. And I think the thing of greatest value in this earth is people. It's relationships. It's souls. And even as was spoken over us this morning, we are family. I am ever so mindful of the family of God. And I believe I'm home here. This is my home. It's like the saying goes, where your home is, your heart is. My heart is here. You need to know where God has placed you. You need to be planted of the Lord. And there, you're going to flourish and you're going to grow. Just obey God. Obey the truth. Have an open heart and open life before Him. He knows anyway. Let Him reveal to you any adjustments that you need to make. Before I get into Stephen, there's something that's coming to me. I'm going to quickly share a dream with you. I do not share this dream as a God dream. I'm just simply stating I recently had a dream. I've had several dreams lately. Some dreams are not of God. Some are pizza ice cream dreams. We don't want those. Don't need them. But in this dream, I saw something about life. In this dream, I was with somebody going to a meeting out of town. And in the dream, I sensed it was a Kenneth Hagin meeting. So, hey, that's pretty good, huh? Well, we were through the meeting. We were ready to go home. We're packing. And I'm packed. I'm ready to go. But the person I'm with, it was amazing. It was like they were traveling. It wasn't, it was more like moving rather than traveling. It wasn't a few suitcases that they had. It was like all of a sudden in the room there was all kinds of stuff. And I'm packed up ready to go, and I'm looking at this other person, and they're just kind of taking their time, just nonchalant. They're looking at their stuff and talking about it as they're packing it. And I'm thinking, oh no, we're never going to catch our flight on time. And even in this dream, it seemed like there were some things that would crop up or pop up before me. And I think, I'm packed. I'm ready to go. That's familiar to me, but I didn't bring that. And I woke up. And I was a little bit puzzled, but I thought, wow. You know, you can't go to the next level in God if you're going to take a lot of stuff. In a dream, I was challenged with stuff that crops up. And how many of you, you walk through things, you get victory, you get triumph. And you know that's behind you. You've forgiven, you've loved, you've made the adjustments. And all of a sudden, it's before you again. And we have somebody that loves to bring it before us. Okay. Your challenge. Are you going to pick that up again? Going to take it with you? No. The things of the past are past. We are new creatures. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this other person was so weighed down, I thought, we're going to have to charter a plane just for her and her stuff. Yeah. And when I woke up, I thought, it's like I'm faced with either I go on and catch my plane and go to my next destination, or the alternative was to stay there. And she really didn't seem to care that we were going to miss our plane. But I'm telling you, I want to be ready to go on to the next level, to the next destination in God. We can't afford to be carrying around stuff from the past that has weighed us down for years. We can't afford, once we forgive, to let the devil bring it back to us in our remembrance and not tell him, no, I've dealt with that in the name of Jesus, I've forgiven, I pray love over them, I bless them, and whatever God may show us, because we pray and love even our enemies. Let the enemy know you're not going to take that stuff. It doesn't belong to you anymore. And oh, how cunning he can be. Don't take it back. Now, we're going on to Stephen in Acts chapter 6. The early church was faced with a problem. And here in Acts chapter 6, the widows were being overlooked in their daily serving of. Verse 2, so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, the brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge. And I thought it was very interesting that there were some requirements here. It wasn't like, well, just go get anybody. Just pull somebody in. Even if they don't want to, you know, put them in charge of it. No? The word says they wanted men of a good reputation. They wanted men full of the Spirit and had the wisdom of God. Why? Serve tables, food services. Now, some of us, you may be serving in the house of the Lord and you may not think your job is all that significant. It is. As the church is to continue, every single person that puts their hand to labor in love in the name of the Lord is important. We can't do it without each of you. And we need more of you because we are what? Family. And it takes a team. If we counted up how many people are ministering this morning and have labored, we'd be amazed just for one gathering in the house of the Lord. And I want to thank all of you. You're appreciated. And it says in verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. So they chose Stephen. He was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And they chose the other men. And they prayed for them. They laid hands on them. And in verse 7 it says, the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase, and a great many of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Right there, that's really just amazing and so precious, because even priests were becoming obedient to the faith. Even priests believed. And then in verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. And the grace of God is everything that we are and have in Christ Jesus. The grace of God will cause you to be and to do what you never thought you could. It takes you wherever God wants you to go, if you believe and stand. Now, for serving tables and being this powerful man of God that he was, full of grace and power, he was performing signs and wonders. And I want to encourage you, I don't care if you clean toilets, whatever you lay your hand to in the house of the Lord, God wants to use you for signs and wonders. God wants you laying hands on the sick that they would recover. God wants you to be a voice of his love and a hand and a touch of his kindness and gentleness in the earth. But there were men that came against him, and I like Pastor was ministering to us Wednesday night, that those who are blessed of the Lord will be persecuted. There'll be those that aren't blessed that will come against the blessing of God in our lives. And we see that here. And I thought, after he got done with his service Wednesday night, I thought, I've got the follow-up Sunday morning. Okay. So Stephen has some men that rise up against him. And they say that he is blasphemous against Moses and against God. They stir up the people, the elders and the scribes, in verse 12. And they drag him away and they brought him before the council. So he's going to stand before the religious hearts here. And it says in verse 15, and fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. Now they have condemned him already as a blasphemer. And here he is, and the anointing and glory of God is shining on his face, on his countenance. It could happen to you. There should be something different about God's people. And we need God to show up big time in the midst of trouble. And he is a very present help. He is our strength in that time of trouble. So Stephen begins to speak out his defense, and he goes from Abraham to Jesus, the righteous. And he just happens to add in there that in verse 51, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit, you are doing just as your fathers did. Well, that's not going to go over too well. He stood in truth. He spoke truth. But these are a group of hearers that didn't like what he had to say. In verse 54, now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. In 55, but being full of the Holy Spirit, and that's where we want to be. In your most difficult times, and you may have come this morning, and it seems like everything is against you. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. You can do it. He is our strength, our refuge. He is a strong tower. He is all in all. He is our defense. He has all wisdom for you right in the midst of where you are. It's not the arm of the flesh. And we can look to people. God uses people to be a blessing and help us out. But we need to go to God as our source and have faith and trust in Him. Somehow, some way, if I don't have the money, God's going to get it to me. He's my provider. Somehow, some way, if my kids are going astray, God's going to have His way, because I believe in the plan and purpose and destiny of God for my children, and their hearts will turn. They're going the way of Jesus in heaven. If my marriage is a mess and falling apart, He's the restorer of families. He can give us wisdom. And we in wisdom and gentleness can stand for truth and make the adjustments we might need to make, to do before our spouse for the sake of love. Full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And most of us know that this is the only place where we actually see Jesus standing. And I look at this way, that Stephen stood for truth, and truth stood for Stephen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you know what else I think? I don't think it's the only time the truth stood in heaven. But it's the only time recorded. I think there have been probably many, 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 if not multitudes, that have gone on to be with the Lord, that in their last moments they stood in a difficult time. And they loved beyond the cost. They stood for truth. And even though they may not see it, heavenward, truth is standing for them. God is not a respecter of truth. This is a very intimate moment, one of the most precious that I've found in the Word, where a believer standing in truth sees heaven open, sees the glory of God, and sees Jesus standing, having a heavenly audience. In verse 56, and he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him, and the witness laid aside the robe at the feet of a young man named Saul. And for those of you that may not know, this Saul is the same Saul They had the God encounter of the Jesus kind on the road to Damascus. Saul witnessed the death of Stephen. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. And then a great persecution arose in the church. And you know who was heading it up and going out in the forefront? Saul. The church is scattered. And in verse 3 of chapter 8, it says that he began to ravage the church, and he entered house after house, and he drug off both men and women and put them into prison. Soon this very Saul that witnessed the death of Stephen and most likely saw the glory of God upon his face. He was a Pharisee. He was going to soon be apprehended by Stephen's Jesus. And he was going to learn real quick the love and the power and the spirit by which Stephen lived and died. And he would be no less committed to stand in truth the rest of his days till he finished his course. And he said at one point, "I don't count my ministry as dear to me. I want to finish. I want to finish." Could Saul ever forget how someone condemned as evil could cry out to the Lord to forgive those that were stoning them to death? Many of us in difficult times in life, we have learned how to forgive. We've had to let go of the past and let go of the people. We've realized that it's a choice. It's by faith. It's not by feelings. You don't feel like forgiving. You want to slap them upside the head and other things. But by faith, we've learned it's the right thing to do. The Word tells us. I just want to read real quickly in Mark 11. It's to reinforce forgiveness in our lives. In Mark 11, 24 and 25. Well, we'll go 25 and 26. "Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions." How many love to have their prayers answered? How many of you pray? No, don't raise your hand. No. When you stand praying, forgive. It's very simple. If we don't forgive, we're not forgiven. And there isn't one person on the face of the earth that is worth the prison, the emotional torment of holding bitterness, hatred, or resentment towards. No one is worth coming between you and your Lord and your Father. No one. It pays to forgive. In John 14:15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then in John 15:10, he said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." So as we keep being obedient, doing what he says in our life, we continue loving. And if we continue loving, guess what? We're going to continue to obey. Do what he says. It simplifies life a lot. But we need to have the fellowship with him. Our prayer life and our word life affects our heart life. And the more God has of your heart, the more he's going to have of your mouth. If your heart's right, your mouth's going to be right. There's death and life and the power of the tongue. We choose. Are we blessing? Are we cursing? Are we edifying? And Jesus said in John 15:13 that there is no greater love than to lay down your life for friends. And even as he laid down his life, we are also told we should lay down our life for the brethren. And even though probably most of us may never lay down our natural life, like Stephen, we do need to lay down the flesh life. We do need to let go of the old nature. Anything that would hinder us from going on with God, we have the power to be free in Jesus Christ. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, I just want to turn there. I really love this scripture. This is where I want to live. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. The scripture goes on and tells us how we are new creatures in Christ, and all things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It goes on and tells us that each of us, as believers, have a ministry of reconciliation. We've been reconciled to God. We have peace with God through the blood of the cross of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for the Lord. We represent a heavenly kingdom. We don't represent this earth. We don't represent the world. We represent such kingdom. So we ought not act like the devil. If you are love-controlled, then you're God-controlled. Good place to be. You'll be tender-hearted. You'll be humble. And when you see truth, you'll make the adjustment. You won't be offended by truth. You'll love and think the best. And love him enough to obey him. Our lives, when we love and obey, speak louder than the words of our mouth. When we demonstrate how much we love God and we love others, it is the greatest story ever told. Are we willing to love beyond the cost? Because it was love that hung on the cross for us. Stephen had an undivided heart. He was willing to serve. He didn't compromise truth. He walked in love and forgiveness. He was true to the end. There is evidence of true fellowship in his life. It's obvious. True fellowship will release spirit and the service by the grace of God and the power of God. I want to read to you something that was written to me back in 1993. And some of you know who Marilyn LePage is, was. She's with the Lord now. She's part of the audience up there. Well, this precious sister and saint, she wrote these words, and to me they were powerful, and I hope that they're encouraging to you. She said, "Maureen, the pitcher, like any other vessel, can overflow only with what is inside. Whether a pitcher is large or small, clay or gold, its ultimate usefulness is based on what is inside. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." 2 Corinthians 4:7. A person dying of thirst craves water more than anything else on earth. If he finds a vessel of water, he's not critical of the shape of the vessel, nor the material for which it's made. What pours out is what matters. We hear and know that the world is dying for a little bit of love. I pray that we who have experienced the meaning of Jesus' words, "For God so loved that he gave," be so filled with his love that it will overflow from our lives to the needy, dying world about us. To love is to care. To love is to give. To love is to spend and be spent. Some people, they care. They say they love. They may even give some things. They're not willing to be spent for the cause of Christ and the cause of truth. Marilyn had that kind of a life and a heart. She's writing this to me. I see it in her. To care, to love is to give, to love is to spend and be spent, that others may know eternal life. You and I can be used to reach the unreached, to tell the untold, to love the unloved, to heal the hurting, to bring hope to the hopeless, life to the lifeless, and be a friend to the friendless. Jesus must be the reason that we live, and He must be the reason that we love. How many of you, no matter what the cost, are willing to stand in truth? Because truth stood for us. Glory to God. Music ministers, please come. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me, I have that here. I want to share with you quickly, too, right before you minister in song. This is a quick testimony, and I think I have time to share it. This is really good. This is a man who was at a believers' convention, and this is years back. And he came out of the meeting, and there's a group of seven men that have L.A. Raider jackets on, and they have red handkerchiefs tied on them. And they stop, and they're talking, and he walks by, and he says, hello. And the next moment, one of them pulls out a switchblade and puts it to his neck and says, what do you want? Well, he stuck out his hand, and he was praying in the Spirit, and he said, I want to tell you about Jesus. And at that time, the guy that had the knife to his neck, he broke down and started crying, and he threw his knife up on a building. And he said, my mom's been praying for me. This man then told them how much God loved them and asked the leader if he wanted to accept Jesus as his Savior. And he did. Then when he asked the other guys, they said, they too. And we all joined hands, and they received Christ as a Savior. Is it worth it to stand for truth? Absolutely. Absolutely. What will you do in the evil day? This morning, I believe, we've made a heart decision. We're going to stand. We're going to stand. Go ahead and stand, congregation. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to receive Him and His wonderful love, you want to make heaven your home,